Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome. It's time to get in the zone with Bartow Sports Zone, your source for local coach interviews and local sports news information and local sports talk. I'm your host, Charles Wilson. I'll be joined today by members of the Bartow Sports Zone Bench Warmers. We'll see them a little later on this morning. Today in our opening hour, we visit with the head baseball coach at Woodland High School, Todd Eubanks. And then we'll hear from Kyle Sandy of sandyspill.com. Kyle is our statewide high school basketball analyst. He will have all kinds of information for us over the next 3 weeks as we run through the GHSA State Basketball Tournament. After that, we'll have a local high school sports update. And in honor of President's Day this week, we'll take a Mount Rushmore on a few different topics this morning. So we hope you'll stick around for the next couple of hours. We're glad that you've joined us, and we remind you that you can always find us online at bartowsportszone.com. That's where you get your daily dose of local sports news and updates. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Bartow Sports Zone, and our free podcast downloads are available wherever you download your podcast. Just search for Bartow Sports Zone Podcast. We're brought to you by Elite Stone Supply, Derek Strange of Edward Jones Investments, St. Angelo's Pizza at Lake Point Station, and Three Way Campers. So we're glad that you're here this morning, and we welcome in our opening guest of the morning, head coach of the Wildcats, Todd Eubanks. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Very glad to have you here. Welcome back to the Zone and Bartow Sports Zone on WBHF. I'll also say a quick hello to Jackson Hyde, who is one of our bench warmers and has joined us on the Zoom connection. Good morning, Jackson.
Good morning, Coach Wilson. Good morning, Coach Eubanks. Glad to be with you guys.
Glad to have you here. And Alan, back in the studio, has us up and running this morning.
Good morning, absolutely. Alan. Happy Friday, everybody.
Glad to have you here as well. Coach, it's been a busy week for the Wildcats. Monday, you beat Gordon Central. I think it was in just three innings. Tuesday, a loss to North Atlanta at the Pickens Mountain Classic. A couple of more games Wednesday and Thursday up there. Nice win over Christian Heritage in a shutout. And then a pitcher's duel yesterday as you take on Franklin County. So a busy week for the Wildcats on the road.
It has been. You know, with our break, you know, we got school on Friday and we also, we play on Saturday. So with Saturday's game and these four straight days here, we played five ball games in a 6 day period. And we did that on purpose for, you know, we're trying to find out our pitching, where it's at. We've got some new players that are moving around, coming up from JV and trying to see some things there. And so with it, it gave us a chance to play a lot of baseball. We practiced, we put some time in. And so by doing it, it gave them some bonding time on the bus to be together, eat some meals together. And, we played some good baseball. We played some good teams. The results, we're right now overall we're 3-3. But, we've gotten better. The first night we played against Villarica last week was disastrous. It was terrible. But since that time there, we played some really competitive baseball this week. And so we're going in the right direction. We're pretty excited about where we're at.
Looks like, and we'll get to specifics on your pitching staff a little later on in this visit, but looks like your pitching's been holding up pretty well in that stretch, and you have to go pretty deep when you play that many games in a short span.
We do. We, last year we felt like that with our pitching staff, we would do the injuries and so forth. We didn't have enough pitching, so we went off season stressing. We had to find more pitchers and to do that, we scheduled the schedule the way we did. And so with it, we've got probably right now about nine guys that we're rotating through as far as pitchers going, and they're eating innings and they're throwing well. And, we've still got our big three that start for us, and Aiden Ray, Austin Daves, and Zach Lambert, who threw really well this week. And then we got some backups that we're working on getting some time in.
Okay, so coaching staff this time, a little bit about each of those guys that are helping you and their responsibilities with the program.
I'm fortunate that we didn't have a lot of turnover this year here. We had one young man who went on to finish out school, and we picked up a local guy, and J.J. Jones, who is a Woodland alumni, who's come on and helped us out here with our young kid program. But, you know, staff-wise, well, we have Justin Mackey, who's back with me from previous staff that I inherited, and he works with our hitters and works for infielders. He does a great job. I have Nick Shields, who last year I neglected to mention him somehow on the show, and he was quick to remind me, so I want to make sure Nick knows that I haven't forgotten him. He's very valuable to us. Nick's our head JV coach, and Nick does a great job helping me out with making sure we get all of our game changer and all of our stuff here on time to everywhere it needs to go. Then we have Hunter Osborne, who's back. He works with our pitchers, and then he also will help me with our conditioning program. And then I have Hunter Reed, who's a Woodland alumni, who works with our catchers and helps with our young kids coaching third base. And then we got Kyrie Rogers, who played for me at Cass, and he works with our outfielders and our base running, and he does a great job. And you know, it's really, I feel very fortunate to have Kyrie. After Kyrie's been with me for a few years as a player, and then come back as a coach. So well-rounded staff. The kids get along well with them, and they do a good job helping our kids get better.
Coach, we got about, 15 seconds or so. You have such an abbreviated period of time in January and February to get ready for baseball season, and the weather's not always conducive for outdoor practices. Is there one priority in the early preseason?
Yes, pitching and conditioning.
That would do it. That would do it. Yeah, you got to throw strikes once the season starts. Let's take a timeout here on Bartow Sports Zone, and we'll come back to visit more with Coach Todd Eubanks.
Whether you love them or can't stand them, surprises are part of life. Derek Strange, your Cartersville Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you get ready for whatever life throws your way. He'll work with you to meet your changing needs and to help you end up where you want to be. And while there's never a good time to experience unexpected costs, Derek can help make them feel a little less unexpected. For an appointment, call Derek Strange at 770-386-4545, Edward Jones, member SIPC.
St. Angelo's Pizza and Lake Point is proud to present its Pizza of the Month for February. The Buffalo Chicken, just $9.99 for a large. Indulge in this masterpiece featuring seared and seasoned chicken, gooey mozzarella cheese, and your choice of signature wing sauce in flavors ranging from mild to extra hot. Choose the Pizza of the Month or any of St. Angelo's award-winning specialty pizzas, wings, subs, salads, and desserts at 77 Old Alatoona Road in Emerson, and online at stangelos.com.
Good morning, friends, and welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. We're visiting with Coach Todd Eubanks, head coach of the Woodland Wildcats baseball program. Coach, baseball's pitching, hitting, and defense. Everyone knows how important pitching and all of that is, and having that stable of arms to throw strikes in high school. You mentioned briefly the key arms for the Wildcats in 2024. Kind of give us an idea of who those guys are and what their skills are.
Like I said earlier, you know, we have two-thirds of our rotation are back from last year that ate up most of our innings. And Aiden Ray, who's a senior, he's a righty, and he's back. And then we have lefty Austin Daves, who was the first team our region. He's a junior, but he's a crafty lefty. He threw a great ball game yesterday. He threw a complete game on 74 pitches yesterday. He was carving up the zone against Franklin County. And then we have Zach Lambert, who is a guy that he's our warrior. He came in last year and had to throw in the playoffs, and just he's a battling competitor. He's a right-handed arm that he come from different arm angles and can mix it up, and he's done a great job for us, and he's getting a chance. He'll go next year down to East Georgia and get a chance to pitch after this. Aiden's also going to get a chance to go next year to USC Lancaster and pitch. But outside of those guys there, we got some newcomers to the mound. Connor Sturmer is our normal shortstop, and he's getting a chance to come in and throw some innings. And right now he's throwing strike at a 92% rate. So, he keeps the ball in the zone and does a great job throwing it. Besides him, we have J.D. Trail is a newcomer to our program. He's a righty that's a high-end guy. He's got velocity. He'll be he'll touch 91, 92 with it. So we look forward to him being able to come in and close out some ball games for us. Lucas Baker is a junior coming from JV. He's trying to throw for us and need innings. And then Connor Lou John's also getting his chance to throw some for us. And so we're just that's kind of our staff. We're working them through and trying to find innings, and they're doing a good job of adapting.
Well, I'm happy you used the phrase crafty lefty, because I've never heard of a crafty righty.
Tell us about
the middle of your defense, Coach. Sturmer at shortstop, Lujan at second base, Ryan out in center field mostly, Hicks and Clowers behind the plate. Their strengths, you got to have that middle of your defense to be strong.
We do, you mentioned Ryan out in center field. He's a sophomore that's getting a chance to play a little bit because Mason Williams is our regular center fielder. He pulled his hamstring the week before the season started, and so we had to work him back in. But Mason's a senior, and he'll be our regular center fielder. And he got a chance the last 2 days to get back out there and play with it. Lujan and Sturmer. Lujan, he played third base for us last year. This year he's a starting second baseman. Connor Sturmer may be the best defensive shortstop I've ever coached. In 30 years, he's steady. He gets the ball across there. He's got a stronger arm, a solid kid, always plays a smile on his face. And then behind the plate this year, Brett Good was our starting catcher last year. We moved him to the outfield this year to take advantage of the athleticism. And then we've got Joshua Hicks, who was a senior, and Jay Clowers that are splitting time back there, and they're battling it out. We're able to keep fresh legs behind the plate that way.
Jackson, we'll come over to you for a question here in just a second, but I did want to ask Coach Eubanks how important it is to have some challenging opponents in that non-region slate prior to jumping into Region 7-5A, which we know is always a powerful region.
Yeah, we're scheduled. We've scheduled some opponents that have been known to be very good, and then we try to schedule some teams that are local and go with it from there. So our kids get a chance to play on the road and go to different venues. But our region is what it is. It's a tough slate, and so with it, we have to play some teams outside the Franklin counties, the McEachern's, the Carrolltons, the ones that we have going through there, just so that we get a chance to test ourselves. And then we also play a lot of, like I said, we played 5 ball games here in 6 days. So we were playing a lot of games prior to the region, because we've got some young kids that are moving up from the JV and learning new roles. And so we try to get as much in as we can before we start playing games, so that we know where we're at, and they're battle tested before region starts.
Jackson?
Coach, I know you have a lot of support staff and booster club members, parents that are big at helping you out. Tell us a little bit about your support staff, and what time do your home games, what time will they typically start during the week?
Our home games typically are at 5:55 when we start. Some of our non-region games will start earlier. On Saturdays, we start at 1 o'clock. My booster club is phenomenal. I have two parents that really are at the top of it, and Sarah Daves and Jason Daves. They do a great job with, I get to stay between the lines. I can tell those guys there, this is what we want to do, and they make it happen. Our fundraising, our kids do an excellent job with fundraising. Our parents are bought in. If you get a chance to come see our ballpark, we've made a lot of renovations to it, and And that's all because of their parents and the buy-in from our community. And so we're very fortunate that, we have that part of it. And with our new junior Wildcat program, we're now 6 through 12 and stuff that we do. So we're incorporating, we have lots of numbers. So we have the community from Red Top that does come to Woodland. And then we also have the Woodland Middle School parents that are coming in. And there's a lot of excitement right now.
Sounds like things are rocking and rolling with the Woodland Wildcats baseball program. Coach, we got just a few more seconds here. Region 7, 5A, Cartersville, Calhoun, Dalton in there now. You've got Cass, of course. It's down to just a 12-game schedule, so you can't afford many slip-ups. So once you start that schedule with Hiram playing non-region this year.
That's right. I mean, it's a situation where each team's going to be better. Dalton's got a new coach. They're working hard up there. I've seen Cass play. They've gotten bigger and stronger. They'll be very competitive. And, Cartersville's Cartersville, and so with it, we're going to go in and we're going to do what we can do. We'll see what happens. But before I go, I just want to say thank you, Charles, for the Martha Sports. Y'all guys do a great job of covering high school athletics, and we really do appreciate it.
That's Coach Todd Eubanks. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you giving up your time on this Friday morning to join us on DSZ. We'll take a news break, and we'll be back to visit with Kyle Sandy.
Elite Stone Supply can meet all your needs for outdoor lawn supplies and power equipment. But did you know they repair and service small engines? From string trimmers to lawn mowers, Elite has experience, tools, and service to keep your equipment running. Elite Stone Supply, with Husqvarna mowers and everything you need to keep your property in great shape this season. 9 Baker Road and Joe Frank Harris Parkway, just north of Cartersville, across from Racetrack. Online at EliteStoneSupply.net.
Man, I loved playing high school sports growing up. And it's fun being a fan now, don't get me wrong, but sitting in the stands feels like I'm missing out on all the action, you know? I wanted to get back in the game, so I signed up to be a high school official. It takes me back to my playing days. I'm supporting students, and I get paid to make the big calls. Do you want to see the game up close? Sign up to become an official in Georgia at highschoolofficials.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Charles Wilson here, along with Jackson Hyde on the Zoom connection. We have Alan Sanders back in the WBHF studios. We want to thank Coach Todd Eubanks of the Woodland Wildcats for joining us in that opening half hour this morning. And now we welcome in our second guest of the day, our Georgia High School basketball analyst from sandyspill.com, Kyle Sandy. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Very well, thank you, and glad to have you giving up some of your time on this Friday morning to talk a little high school basketball across the state of Georgia with us. Welcome back to the Zone and Bartow Sports Zone on WBHF. Well, we've made it through one round of the state playoffs with games this past Tuesday and Wednesday. Kyle, tell us where you went to cover and what you saw.
Yes, sir. I was in the North Georgia area, so I had two spots I dropped in on that first day. I went to Habersham Central to check out the Habersham Central girls hosting South Paulding. South Paulding girls won that game. First win in school history, I believe, in the postseason for South Paulding girls program. Nice. 58-29. Lena Van Dyke had a double-double. And then my other stop was Union County. That was a doubleheader. So I got to see the Union County girls win 62-35 over Landmark Christian. I saw Ariel McCarter, a junior, score her 1,000th point of her career, which was cool. And then I saw Eagles Landing Christian Academy boys top Union County 66-60. They jumped out on them 16-3. Union County cut the game to 2 points early on in the fourth quarter. But Eagles Landing Christian Academy, too big, too athletic down the stretch, and they made those plays to hold off the Panthers.
Yeah, the early matchups are always interesting because with regions kind of isolating their schedules against just one another, then when they branch out and start playing one another, you just really never know what you're going to see. Remind us again how we can reach all of your high school basketball content and go ahead and promote your upcoming March showcase.
Yes, sir. SandySpiel.com is the spot you want to go on. We have all the brackets available there, all the matchups. I believe updating all these scores throughout the nights. It's really crazy when I go to these games because I got my pen and paper in one hand and then my laptop in my other hand trying to see what's going on and update all these scores and brackets in real time. But SandySpiel.com and then on Twitter at KyleSandy355. That's where you find all those live updates. And March 17th is the Sandy Spiel Spring Showcase. We will be hosting that at Gainesville High School, an opportunity for girls and boys to participate. Girls camp starts at 10 a.m. Boys camp starts at 4 p.m. Just an opportunity to play in front of some college coaches, go through some drill work, play in front of these colleges with some gameplay. We break it down, separate these campers into teams. Just a good opportunity to play in front of media members such as myself, with videographers there, photographers there. So just an all-around good time. St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, Sandy Spiel Spring Showcase. And again, you can find more information on that at sandyspiel.com or on Twitter at KyleSandy355.
Absolutely. So hopefully we'll get some local players to join you over in Gainesville for that one. Stepping back about a week before we get into the other first-round results, which region tournaments around the state gave us the biggest upsets and created like those awkward seeding matchups in the first round?
I think the biggest upset that we saw was in Region 3 and 3A in the Savannah area. We had the 7-seed Savannah Country Day, a 7-seed out of, I believe there were 8 teams that made that region tournament. They ended up winning the region title, beating the number one seed Johnson Savannah 60-52. So Savannah Country Day, red hot. They even won their first round matchup. So they're in the Sweet 16 now as a 7-seed coming out of their region. So that was a really big one. Over in your area, the Cartersville boys, they were the 3-seed going into that tournament. They beat Calhoun, a 4-seed, 60-58 to win the region title. Other games that kind of shook things up. How about Hart County? They were the 2-seed on the boys' side. They beat Hebron Christian 59-53, and that really messed up the brackets because they were hooked up with that Region 5 with Sandy Creek, Cedar Grove, and Douglas. Those are three of the top teams in the entire state in Class 3A. So you saw Monroe area, they dropped to that 3-seed spot. They had to go on the road at Douglas, who's ranked number 2 in the state. And mind you, Monroe area was ranked in the top 10 pretty much all season long before that falter and that misstep in the region tournament. So they had to go to Douglas in Atlanta, and they got eliminated. And then two more quick things that happened on the girls' side. How about the Adairsville girls? They came in as a 3-seed. They crushed the 4-seed Ringgold 56-26. And then the number 3-seed Butler out of Region 4 in Class 2A on the girls' side. They beat Josie, the 1-seed, 63-54. Butler had lost to Josie every single game in the regular season. And they had also lost to Thompson. They got swept by them every single game. But then they went into the tournament and beat both of those teams and won the region title.
Kyle, we'll get back to a local focus after this first commercial break. But I'll give you about 15 seconds here. Next year, is my understanding that there will be more of a seeding process for the state playoffs rather than the typical 1-4 out of each region, 2-3. Do you see that as advantageous?
It's going to be interesting. I know coaches across the state have been fighting for more of a seeding process than just your basic region tournament, because some people feel like, oh, I beat this team twice in the region tournament, so what if I just happen to get upset in the region tournament because I beat them in the regular season, I guess I'm trying to say. So it will really change things. Seeding is going to be very different. I think the GHSA is going to It's just going to be a lot to really kind of relearn, because things are changing. We're going to be going into 6 classifications now. So we're not going to see any teams with bad records in the state tournament anymore. I can promise you that.
He's Kyle Sandy. We'll take a quick break and be back with more.
To win in sports, you need to adjust your strategy as the game changes. The same is true of investments. Derek Strange, your Cartersville Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you create a game plan for your financial goals. He'll help you look at the big picture and help you plan for your future. Call Derek at 770-386-4545 or visit edwardjones.com to get started today. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. We're visiting with our statewide high school basketball analyst, Kyle Sandy from sandyspiel.com. Kyle, I want to touch on the local focus just a little bit. We had three region champions just in this community with both Adairsville teams and the Cartersville boys winning region titles. And we had one region runner-up in the Cartersville girls. Well, the three champions are all gone now, losing in the first round, and the Cartersville girls are the lone team standing in the local area.
Cartersville girls, that was a team that I had in the top 10 early on in the season, preseason, maybe around number five even. They had a good year last year. They had pretty much everybody coming back this year. They really challenged themselves in the non-region schedule, so they kind of got off to a bit of a slow start. But they're battle tested. You know, they've seen the likes of Hiram and Dalton and Calhoun, all really strong, good programs, Cass even. And they were able to beat Cambridge 64-48 in that first round matchup. Now they get to go on the road to Jefferson. It gets much tougher. Jefferson's about 25-3 this year. Those two teams hooked up in the state playoffs last year, and Cartersville eliminated Jefferson. So it should be a very good matchup. And it's been a really good season. I mean, just think about where Cartersville girls were the past three, 4 years, and the fact that they're in the Sweet 16 and have a viable chance at the Elite Eight, that's very impressive.
Yeah, Coach Boykin, we've had on the show a couple of times. She does a really good job. And it's really just been an attitude of toughness that has come across that she brought with her. And it's taken a couple of years for them to achieve all of that kind of playing attitude that she brought with her. But it's been nice to see the progress that the Cartersville girls have made through the year. And yeah, you're right. They've got a big challenge on their hands tonight as they take on the Jefferson Dragons. Kyle, let's look at second round games. Your opinion, the biggest surprises across all classifications in round one with the girls' games.
Oh, the biggest one, 100%, in Class A, Division One, Elbert County, who was the 4 seed. They were like 7-21 going into the state tournament. Now, Elbert County has been great the past 2 years, but all those girls graduated. Coach Josh Jones has a very young and inexperienced squad, but they had to go on the road at the number 1 seed out of Region 5, Oglethorpe County, who had everybody back from last year's Elite Eight run. They were 23-2. Elbert County went in there, and they blew out Oglethorpe by 17 points. And very shocking to see that Elbert County, that young team, taking down an Oglethorpe County team that really had designs on winning a state title this year, or at least making it to the Final Four. That was the biggest shock for sure. And then on the boys' side, again, it starts with Douglas County, the 4 seed out of Region 5 in Class 6A. That Region 5 has been the toughest region in the state pretty much every single year, and they proved it again. They beat Shiloh, who was number 2 in the state, 54-41. And to be honest with you, I picked Shiloh to win the state title, so my state championship pick got blown out in the first round. My jaw hit the floor when I saw that. So those are definitely the two biggest upset. Douglas County on the boys' side and Elbert County on the girls' side really left me just scratching my head and just saying that is why they call it February frenzy.
Well, as normal, we're kind of running out of time here, Kyle. Talk about the best girls' second-round matchups tonight and the best boys' second-round matchups tomorrow night.
Yes, sir. I have two for you. River Ridge girls, number 1 team in the state in Class 6A, the defending state champs. They will be hosting New Manchester, a team ranked in the top 5 all year long. New Manchester, really big, really physical, have some college-level players. And then, of course, River Ridge, they move the ball. They shoot the 3 very well. A lot of Division I prospects on that roster. Next up, you have the Creekside girls with CC Dennis, the number 1 freshman in the state. Averaged about 24.7 rebounds, 7 assists. She's been phenomenal. Now they have to go on the road to Dalton to play a very physical team. with Grace Ridley inside, a double-double machine, and Emma Heffner, who gets a lot of steals. That'll be a very interesting matchup to see if Dalton can corral the young freshman. And then on the boys' side, in Class 7A, Newton, who's been in the top five pretty much all season long, they are on the road to play Ace Bailey and McKeachern. Ace Bailey just had a crazy stat line. He had like 27, 15, 6, and 5, something nuts. But he's been amazing all year long, and McKeachern scored over 100 points against Westlake in the first round. And then next up, Pace Academy, the 2 seed on the road at the 1 seed, Holy Innocence. Holy Innocence has 6'10", Caleb Wilson, a 5-star prospect, but Charmin White, the Pace Knights, the defending state champs, are loaded top to bottom. They have everybody back from last year's team. That is going to be a slobber knocker and what I see as a potential state championship matchup happening in the Sweet 16 round.
Outstanding as always, Kyle. One more time, tell us how we can find your content, and also a real quick notice on your showcase that's coming up.
Yes, sir. SandySpiel.com. You can find all the information about the state playoffs there. Also, you can find more information about the Sandy Spiel Spring Showcase March 17th at Gainesville High School Individual Players Camp for girls and for boys, girls in the AM, boys in the PM. Find out that information at SandySpiel.com. And then, of course, on Twitter or X, Sandy Spiel, and also Kyle Sandy 355. We will have live game updates, retweets of scores from throughout the state, just trying to keep everybody abreast of all the latest information across the GHSA basketball state playoffs.
Well, Kyle, maybe we'll cross paths again somewhere on the road, and you be safe out there with all your travels during the state tournament.
Thank you, Charles. You too. Good luck wherever I see you. Great talking to you as always, my friend.
We'll see you next week on Bartow Sports Show.
Sponsors of the Elite Athletes of the Month. Elite Stone Supply at Baker Road at US 41 North is your local authorized Husqvarna dealer. See Elite for all your landscaping needs. And check out the inventory of mowers, tillers, trimmers, and blowers. Need pine straw, mulch, sand, topsoil, rocks, or landscaping boulders? How about cultured or natural stone? Elite delivers with tons of options. Across from Racetrack, just north of Cartersville, on Facebook and at ElitestoneSupply.net.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. We cruise into our second hour of the morning and remind you that we're brought to you by Elite Stone Supply, Three-Way Campers, St. Angelo's Pizza at Lake Point Station, and Derek Strange, your local Edward Jones investment advisor. We want to thank our two guests this morning, Todd Eubanks of Woodland Baseball and Kyle Sandy from SandySpiel.com for joining us in that opening hour. Next week, Kyle Sandy returns for another visit, the second of three that he will have with us as the high school basketball state tournament continues. And we'll also have a visit with the Cass High School baseball coach, Matt Thompson, next Friday morning. So you'll want to tune in and catch us with that program as well. Let's jump into our local sports update. With wrestling, the 2024 GHSA Traditional Format State Championships wrapped up last Saturday in Macon, with plenty of local competitors coming away with outstanding finishes. Adairsville's Jet Johnson won the 285-pound weight class state title in Class 3A, and Kira Groh of Cass won the 175-pound division in Class 5A. So we have a couple of individual state champions out of the wrestling season once again. Seven other local wrestlers made their respective state championship bouts, but lost in their championship bout, if you will, in the finals to finish as a state runner-up. We'll run through that list for you. Anitra Witherspoon of Cartersville, in the girls' all classification, Jamin Long of Adairsville at 190, Lee Camp of Cass at 120, Zachary Wallace of Woodland at 138, Hayden Santora of Woodland at 144, John Gill from Woodland at 215, and Quadras Wilson of Woodland at 285. They all finished second in the state in their respective classifications and weight divisions. In the Class 5A team race, Woodland was third overall, Cass was sixth, and Cartersville was 18th. The state championship traditional version was won by Ola, with Jefferson finishing second. In Class 3A, Columbus won the team championship, followed by Lumpkin County and Ringgold. Adairsville finished number six in the state in the traditional format. Some other state placers locally. Adairsville had Jaylee Long, who finished fourth in the girls' all-classification 100-pound weight class. On the boys' side, Howard Bailey at 157 was fifth. Jacob Pasley at 165 was sixth. Seth Sellers was fifth place at 215 pounds. In Class 5A, Yair Flores was sixth at 106. Eden Neal was third place in Class 5A at 126. And Taylan Nix of Cartersville finished sixth at the 138-pound division. Also in Class 5A, Hunter Barrett of Cass finished third. He was a 113-pounder. Luca Jensen was sixth. Rowdy Duck, sixth. Mason Tompkins was third there at 126, 132, and 157, respectively. And Woodland had some other state placers. Amari Kennemore finished third at 106, and Noah Cates was sixth at 113. Dylan Cooey was fourth in the 120-pound division, and Heath Tatum finished third in the 165-pound class. Jumping over to the basketball state tournament, we were telling you a little bit about all of that while Kyle Sandy was with us this morning. Locally, three different region championship teams, Cartersville's boys and both of the Adairsville teams win state, or rather region championships last weekend, but then all three of those region champions lost their first round games in the state playoffs. The Cartersville girls were a region runner up, and they did win their first round state playoff game. The girls at Cartersville are now 16-12. They advanced to the Sweet 16. They won at home Wednesday night over Cambridge, who finished the year at 15-14. The Lady Canes are at Jefferson tonight. Jefferson will be quite the challenge. Jefferson 25-3 on the year. They are a number one seed. They beat Tri-Cities in the first round of the Class 5A girls state tournament. And of course, as we mentioned, the Cartersville boys losing to North Springs on Wednesday night, and the Adairsville girls and boys both losing to Dawson County on Wednesday night in the first round of the state tournament. Let's run through some records, at least, of local high school soccer. All of those teams are taking the week off for the winter break. They'll return to action next week. The Adairsville girls are at 4-1 on the season, with wins over Darlington, Cedartown, Pepperell, and Murray County. They will be at Hiram next Tuesday and at Woodland on Friday of next week. The Cass girls are 2-2. And as we run through the soccer update, they have a one-sided loss to Kennesaw Mountain. They lost to Northwest Whitfield, but they've now won two straight with road wins over Ringgold and Pickens. The Cartersville girls are 3-3 on the year. They have wins over Gordon Central, Heritage, Catoosa, and Cedartown. They'll be at home next Thursday against Sonoraville. And the Woodland girls are just 1-0. They're a little bit later starting. They have a win over Pepperell. They're off this week. They'll be at Rockmart next Wednesday. The Cass boys soccer team is 4-0-1 with wins over Kennesaw Mountain, Ringgold, Pickens, and Dalton Academy. They did tie a really good Northwest Whitfield team on February the 8th. The Cartersville boys are off to a 1-5 start. The Woodland boys are at 2-0 with a one-sided wins over East Paulding and Pepperell. They'll be at home against Paulding County next, or well, actually today, and they are the only team that's still in action this week. And then the Adairsville boys are 1-2-1. They tied Murray County 1-1 last Friday, and they have a win over Pepperell. They are off this week. They'll be at Hiram and Woodland next Tuesday and Friday. Of course, baseball has been extremely busy this week with the winter break going on. That gives all of those teams an opportunity to get on the diamond and play several games with school not being in session. So we'll hang on to that update for a few more seconds, Alan, and we'll go ahead and head over to this mid-segment break and come back and tell everybody about our baseball in this area. So let's take a time out here on Bartow Sports Zone. When we come back, we'll update the busy week with high school baseball.
Tune out of TuneIn and download the new WBHF radio app, available for Apple and Android. Less lag time and no intermittent ads.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Charles Wilson here, along with Jackson Hyde on the Zoom connection. Alan Sanders holding down the fort back in the WBHF studios. We quickly ran through most of the spring sports local update for you, but we still have baseball to go, and baseball in full stride this week with the winter break, except for one team, and that's the Adairsville Tigers. They're just 0-1 on the year, only played the one game. They lost 5-2 to Pepperell on Monday. They'll be home against White County today, and they'll have a doubleheader tomorrow as they take on Darlington. Next week for the Tigers, it's a home-and-home series with Cass. That'll take place on Monday and Thursday. Speaking of Cass, they are 3-3, I believe, now on the season. A couple of wins over Paulding County, and they blanked St. Francis on Tuesday up in Jasper at the Pickens Mountain Classic. Their losses came to Sprayberry and Norcross, and then last night they lost 7-3 to Hebron Christian. They will be back in action next week, as we mentioned, with a home-and-home series against Adairsville on Monday and Thursday. Players to watch for the Colonels: sophomore Chase Tatum has had a strong start to his second season, and they've got a group of, I believe, 10 seniors who have now been through the wars in Region 7-5A. And Jackson, I know you've caught a little action on the diamond from the Colonels already this season.
I have, Charles, and they're a scrappy bunch. There's no question about that. You know, they're a heavy senior team with 10 seniors. All those guys are contributing in some form or fashion, and they're a fun team to watch. If you've got some spare time one Monday or Thursday next week, go watch two local teams play. They'll put the ball in play. Expect them to make a run for a playoff spot this year in that region.
Yeah, we'll get back to that in just a second. I want to ask you a question about that. Woodland is at 3-2, I believe, on the year. They lost to Villa Rica. They have wins over Chapel Hill and Gordon Central. They lost on Tuesday to North Atlanta. They're also participating in that Mountain Classic at Pickens High School up in Jasper. Wednesday, they had an outstanding pitching performance, really back-to-back games. They beat Christian Heritage 6-0 at that Pickens Classic. And then yesterday lost a tough one. So I guess they've fallen to 3-3 now on the year. Next Monday, they take on Southeast Whitfield up in Dalton. They'll be at home on Thursday to play Sonoraville. And then next Friday, they'll be at Pepperell. And then 1 week from tomorrow, they'll have a home game with Wheeler High School. So the Woodland Wildcats playing a lot of baseball over a two-week span here, and they're off to a 3-3 start. Cartersville is now the number one ranked team in Class 5A. They're off to a 5-0 start with wins over Kennesaw Mountain, Woodstock, and Forsyth Central in the early going. They won Tuesday at Alexander, and then yesterday in a clash of number one teams, they beat the number one team out of Class 6A, Etowah, by a 1-0 final score. Lots of strong pitching in that one from both sides. They are home Saturday against Ringgold. Next Thursday through Saturday, they head over to Hoover, Alabama, where they'll be one of the top contenders in that perfect game tournament that they play in each and every year. Caleb Daniel, of course, a star that's headed to the University of Georgia, along with pitcher Ryan Johnson. They've already made big impacts in just the first five games. Cameron Cochran had a six RBI day this past Tuesday at Alexander, and three other pitchers joined Johnson yesterday to shut out Etowah. That's a loaded roster with several other college prospects and commits. And Jackson, they've got to be the team to beat, not only in Region 7-5A, but they're going to be one of the teams to beat at the state level.
Absolutely. I think they're, regardless of classification, that is a one heck of a lineup that they've put together there at Cartersville. And it's going to be fun to watch this season for those guys, because they're just top to bottom, any position on the mound, everywhere they're loaded. So they're going to be a fun team to watch. It'd be interesting to see. I know they'll play some nationally ranked teams over in Hoover, and I expect them to contend in each game they play over there.
Yeah, that region down to just really five teams participating for the four state playoff spots. So Cass and Woodland should be right there in the running. And I know we won't go into a lot of detail, but there's been a little bit of turmoil over at Calhoun. So Calhoun, typically a deep state playoff run contender, some changes going on at Calhoun, and Hiram has opted to play a non-region baseball schedule. So they're not even competing for the region title, Jackson.
Yeah, the Calhoun's lost a lot of pitching. Some folks that they probably had counted on to return to that program that have went on to other places. So they'll struggle to find the Calhoun. Still Calhoun, but they're probably going to struggle to find some pitching to compete with the Cartersville. And in my opinion, the Woodland team. I think when we get into region play, you'll see that lineup set there at Woodland with some solid pitching. Coach Eubanks mentioned J.D. Trail, who's moved into the program. He's going to be a huge asset for those guys. So I think it's a Cartersville-Woodland, and then you got your Dalton, Calhoun, and Cass battling for those final two spots.
Yeah, and I had failed to mention Dalton. That's another program on the rise, so they will be a contender for one of those four spots out of Region 7-5 as well. I got to be honest, Jackson, I don't know a whole lot about the Adairsville region as a whole, but I know that they always put together a solid team at Adairsville, and they will probably be, with the athletes that they have, they will probably be one of the contenders in Region 6 AAA.
Absolutely. I think they're definitely a state playoff team. Look for them to finish there, one or two in that region, in my opinion.
Well, changing gears just a little bit, we'll move into what I wanted to do this week, but we'll get to most of it after the news break at the bottom of the hour. We celebrated President's Day earlier this week, so I got to thinking about some Mount Rushmore topics that we've talked about possibly doing on the show in the past, and it's just time to throw it out there. But before the news break, I did want to say that Bo Emerson of the AJC released his article entitled Georgia's Mount Rushmore of Music this past weekend, and he picked James Brown, Ray Charles, Otis Redding, and Little Richard as his four all-time greats. So I want to bring Alan in here right before the news break. Kind of hard to argue against his four selections, Alan, but it opens up some questions as well. He left out the Allman Brothers Band, R.E.M., Gladys Knight, the B-52s, even Alan Jackson from country.
Well, and I noticed if you, without getting too far into the political line, they all have a very similar background. And so he did not go very diverse in picking across the board.
Jackson, your take on that music Mount Rushmore?
Well, obviously there's tremendous loads of talent out of the state of Georgia when it comes to the musical world, which I'm not an official of by no means, but Alan Jackson would have had to been on my list. I'm a country music guy, but Alan Jackson's solid as they come.
Yeah, like I mentioned, it's hard to argue with the four that he picked, James Brown, Little Richard, Otis Redding, Ray Charles. Of course, those are all great picks, and we'll get to some sports Mount Rushmores after the news here at the bottom of the hour. So stick around, and we'll have more for you with Bartow Sports Zone.
St. Angelo's Pizza and Lake Point is proud to present its Pizza of the Month for February. the Buffalo Chicken. Just $9.99 for a large. Indulge in this masterpiece featuring seared and seasoned chicken, gooey mozzarella cheese, and your choice of signature wing sauce in flavors ranging from mild to extra hot. Choose the pizza of the month or any of St. Angelo's award-winning specialty pizzas, wings, subs, salads, and desserts at 77 Old Allatoona Road in Emerson and online at stangelos.com.
A little smoke on the water this morning as the rain clears out of Cartersville and Bartow County. So glad you could join us this morning for Bartow Sports Zone on WBHF. I'm Charles Wilson along with Jackson Hyde on the Zoom connection and Alan Sanders back in the WBHF studios keeping things rolling for us this morning on BSZ. We're doing some Mount Rushmore topics in the world of sports this morning. And the first one I want to jump into, guys, is your Mount Rushmore for the four greatest college football teams of all time. Now, I'm going to be honest here, full disclosure. I went out and researched this one a little bit and looked around at quite a number of articles that had been written on their selections. And there's a pretty wide variety of choices that are out there. And, of course, whenever you're picking your Mount Rushmore for any topic, it's always an opinion. So we'll jump into some of those. But the one I wanted to share with you this morning is out of College Football News. About a year ago, they had created a formula that includes wins and losses, quality wins over winning teams, elite wins over teams that had two or fewer losses on the season. Then they had a category called bad wins, elite losses, point differential, and some other factors that were mixed in there. We won't go into all of those. But the four teams they came up with were the 2019 LSU Tigers, 15-0. A lot of us will remember that team that beat Clemson for the national championship. That team won at Texas, won at Alabama. They beat Sugar Bowl champion Georgia. They beat Big 12 champion Oklahoma, and they beat ACC and Peach Bowl champion Clemson all away from Baton Rouge. So I think they pick up a lot of extra bonus points because they did a lot of their success, or had a lot of their success away from their home stadium. So 2019 LSU was on there. Here's the surprise. 1894 Yale was 16-0. They outscored their opponents 485-13 and had four elite wins. And then the other two teams you'll probably recognize, the 2018 Clemson team with Trevor Lawrence that went 15-0, beat Alabama 44-16 for the national title, 467 point differential on the season. So that was a powerhouse team. And then the 2015 Alabama team that went 14-1 and beat Clemson 45-40 for the title. They had 12 quality wins that accumulated their points. Honorable mentions on that list were this year's Michigan team that went 15-0 and the 2022 15-0 Georgia team that had four elite wins. So a couple of surprises maybe in there, Jackson, but hard to argue when they've broken it down the way they did.
Yeah, they, like they say, Charles, the numbers don't lie. So I see their math and I see what they've done there. It's a little different from my would have been my Mount Rushmore. Mine's a little bit more recent in teams, just in my lifetime of being able to watch it. But it's hard to argue with that list.
Well, tell us what your group would be.
Well, I had the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. To me, is the best in my lifetime. The best college football team of all time. They had, don't hold me to this, I didn't do a whole lot of research, but if I remember correctly, there were 18 first round draft picks on that team.
Yeah, they had a lot of NFL stars.
Yeah, that was a really good team. The 2019 LSU team that you've already mentioned was on my list. And as much as it pains me to say it, the 2022 Georgia Bulldogs, I think when we look back, 10 years from now, we might say that's the best college football team. If you look at, you know, how players progressed, how they performed in the NFL, that's going to be another team. And then my fourth one would was tough. I went with the 1995 Nebraska Cornhuskers, Tommy Frazier. They ran the option. But that defense that year, I think they gave up a total of 89, 83, something in the 80s points all year. So I had that them. It was down to them, and that Clemson team that you mentioned as well was another one. If anybody that can beat Alabama that bad, a Nick Saban-coached Alabama team that bad, is a good football team.
Jackson, that's a great list. Let's jump over to Allen and get his opinion on the Mount Rushmore of all-time college football teams.
Well, you know, I'm not going to in any way knock Jackson under the bus with his 2022 Georgia pick. I mean, if he's going to go with Georgia, how can I leave
them out? He's a Georgia Tech guy. He had to, that troubled him.
Well, and I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to say he was wrong. I think he's absolutely right. I want to be there with him. I do think that LSU team 2019, I think, just ridiculous. Obviously, Michigan this year's got all the love if you're going to go with more modern. And it's hard to argue when you look back at, again, the roster of players that went on to the NFL with the 2001 Miami Hurricanes.
Sure. Sure. And, you know, off the top of my head, I would have gone immediately to that team, just like you guys, because of all the future NFL stars that it made up that roster. But, yeah, the formula that College Football News came up with, I just wanted to share that with our audience and share that with you guys. Speaking of college football, The Athletic reported yesterday that the big meeting between the SEC and the Big Ten a few weeks ago included a suggestion to already expand the 12-team playoff to either 14 or 16 after the first 2 years. Allen, I know you can't wait to jump in on this one.
What did I tell you? I mean, I like the 12. I like the 12 teams, but I wouldn't be surprised if, especially after this first year, the number 13s, the 14s, the 15s are all going to cry and boo-hoo and ask for it being a top 16.
Yeah, we'll get back to that topic in just a minute when we come back. But to me, 14 is kind of a strange number, and we'll talk about how that sets up an awkward playoff if they do that in 2 years. But right now, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of BSZ.
Do you see yourself traveling, working part-time, or moving someplace warmer when you retire? Derek Strange, your Cartersville Edward Jones financial advisor, wants to help make your retirement goals a reality. He can help you figure out where you are today and how to get where you expect to be. Working together, you can plan for what you want and be ready to take on anything unexpected along the way. Call Derek at 770-386-4545 or visit edwardjones.com to get started today. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
St. Angelo's Pizza and Lake Point is proud to present its Pizza of the Month for February. The Buffalo Chicken, just $9.99 for a large. Indulge in this masterpiece featuring seared and seasoned chicken, gooey mozzarella cheese, and your choice of signature wing sauce in flavors ranging from mild to extra hot. Choose the Pizza of the Month or any of St. Angelo's award-winning specialty pizzas, wings, subs, salads, and desserts at 77 Old Alabama Tuna Road in Emerson and online at stangelos.com.
Little eye of the tiger this morning, since all three of us had that LSU team from 2019 on our Mount Rushmore of college football's greatest football teams of all time. We were talking a little bit about the Athletic's report from yesterday that the meeting between the SEC and the Big Ten and their leadership is already talking about expanding the college football playoff team. We haven't even had the first 12-team playoff yet, and they're already talking about it rolling to 14 or possibly even 16 teams after the first 2 years. Jackson, I wanted to point out that 14 is kind of a weird number, but the powers that be, the SEC and the Big Ten, having their influence on that, it would that format would allow for just two byes from the first round, and probably 8 or 9 out of 10 years in that kind of format, guess who would get the byes would be the top teams, probably from the SEC and the Big Ten. So that's a little bit of a strange number for me.
It is. I see their point. The fact that with the new conference realignments and the teams that are joining those two conferences, they're definitely the premier college football conferences in the country. So I can understand them wanting to make sure they got, you know, into round two, almost, well, obviously a guarantee into round two. I think it'd be hard to argue with that proposal.
Yeah, I think 16 is probably a more reasonable number with no buys. But Alan, is expanding from 4 now to 12 and then almost immediately to 14 or 16, is that really what's best for college football?
Well, it's definitely for the fans. It's definitely for all of us water cooler people who want to have an absolute definite victor, and we're going to argue about how did you drop from number 1 to number 6, you know, stuff like that. I've said for a long time, if they just wanted to do it, go to 4 super conferences, and then you pick your top teams from each one, and then you have I think it's a 12 or a 16 team playoff. They got the 12 now. I could see it going to 16 just to finally get the people complaining about 13, 14 out and whatever. But I just think we like playoff brackets. I think we are just as a nation, we want to have an absolute winner, and we want to be able to have this kind of a bracket system.
Jackson, I'll come back to you. I mean, I know you didn't play at that Division I level, but you played college football. The grind of adding these additional games mixed in with final exams around the holiday season and what have you, are we doing what's best for college football?
You know, obviously I played on a lot smaller level than these guys are playing on today, but it was a huge adjustment for me from high school to the college level. The grind, the commitment that it takes. I mean, it's pretty much a job. I mean, there's no question about it. And then when you put the academic requirements on top of that, it's tough. I don't mind the playoff schedule. I think you reduce the regular season down. I think you go back to a 10-game regular season and then do your playoffs. And I know that affects these bigger conferences as far as scheduling. But I think the solution would be to let everybody play 10 games and then start it.
Well, that's been kicked around. But I just have some concern that we're starting to ask a little bit too much out of those young men under the circumstances and trying to keep the college game where it has been for years and years and years. One other college football note that I'll toss out there. We've learned that the college football video game is coming back this summer after an 11-year hiatus. All 134 teams will be packaged into the game, and the players for the first time are being paid a sum. It's a limited sum, but they also get a free copy of the game by opting in. Jackson, I bet you've played some college football video games.
Charles, I have taken Arkansas Pine Bluff all the way to the national championship back in the day. But yes, that was my favorite game back in my time of playing video games. I loved it. I'm glad to see it's back. I got a 17-year-old son that's as excited as anybody that game's coming out. And good for the players. I think it's a $600 payment that they get if they allow their names to be used, and then they get a free copy of the game. I don't see anybody opting out for that. I mean, that's a big deal to have your name on a video game.
Absolutely. Alan, your take on the return of the college football video game.
Oh, I love it. I think, I don't know if you were listening earlier in the week, one of my jobs a while ago, IBM had a game division, and I was part of the intellectual property team going out and licensing a lot of stuff. And we had an NCAA college football simulation game, and we had to stop putting it out. It became too expensive at the time for licensing. And I think that was the same thing that happened to EA, and it's nice to see that we're getting back to where we can maybe have some reasonable discussions to be able to let all the fans live out their fantasy in the video game world.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You can take your favorite college football team, no matter how powerful or how weak, and you can take them deep into any kind of season. We didn't get to all of our Mount Rushmores, guys. We'll bring it back another week here on Bartow Sports Zone. But we do want to remind everyone that we have high school basketball for you tonight as the Lady Canes take on the Jefferson Dragons. We hope you'll make the trip. And if you can't, tune in here on WBHF. For Jackson Hyde and Alan Sanders, I'm Charles Wilson. We'll see you next week on Bartow Sports Zone.